call to a regular meeting for the Grover Beach City Council on Monday, July 20th, 2015. Please stand and rise with us in a moment of silence for the brave men and women who have sacrificed for the liberties and freedoms that we all enjoy in this country. Please remain standing. Chief Peters, will you lead us in a flag salute?
Absolutely. All right, right hand over your heart and begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sir. Please be seated. Roll call.
Here.
Here. Thank you, Donna. Here. City Attorney, can you cover our closed session announcements?
Absolutely. Honorable Mayor, Council Members, on July 6th, Council met in closed session on several items. They included the City Manager's evaluation, conference with labor negotiators, one case of anticipated litigation, one existing litigation, Lopez versus City of Grover Beach, and a conference with real property negotiators. After meeting in closed session, it was announced that there were no reportable actions taken in closed session.
Very good. Thank you. Okay, then we're going to review the order of the agenda as presented by staff tonight. Do any members of the council want to change the order of the agenda?
I'll make a motion that we accept the agenda as presented.
I'll second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. I believe there are some extra agendas on the table at the rear of the room. So let's move on to our ceremonial calendar tonight. The first item on our agenda is a proclamation in support of the Special Olympics World Games host town program. So I'm going to read a proclamation, and then I believe we have someone who is going to receive this item. So this is a proclamation of the City Council of the City of Grover Beach declaring July 25th to August 2nd, 2015 as Special Olympics World Games Los Angeles 2015. And it says, whereas the Special Olympics World Games will be held July 25th, 2015 to August 2nd, 2015, and whereas the Special Olympics World Games is the world's largest sports and humanitarian event in 2015, and whereas 7,000 athletes from 177 countries will compete in the 2015 Games, and whereas Grover Beach is proud to be a host town for the 2015 Games along with Rio Grande, Atascadero, Morro Bay, Pismo Beach, and San Luis Obispo, and whereas the City of Grover Beach, in partnership with California State Parks, the City of Pismo Beach, Grover Beach Rotary Club, Epic Entertainment, and Finn Seafood Restaurant and Bar will host 100 athletes and their delegates from the United Arab Emirates for a California-style dinner followed by a party on the beach at the west end of Grand Avenue. Now, therefore, be resolved that the Grover Beach City Council does hereby proclaim July 25th to August 2nd, 2015, as Special Olympics World Games Los Angeles 2015. And I believe we have Ms. Kristen Arias, who is an athlete and World Games Global Messenger here to receive this, correct?
Hello, my name is Kristen Arias, and I am a Special Olympic athlete and an ambassador for Special Olympics World Games. On behalf of Special Olympics, thank you. And I would like to present each member with a Special Olympic World Game pin.
Thank you.
Okay. Was there anyone else wanted to speak on that proclamation? Mayor Pro Tem Lee.
Great. Thank you. I had the joy and the benefit a couple months ago of being at the kickoff representing the city when it was announced in town that that we're going to be one of the host cities. And we were the organization was kind enough to actually give the city a flag as well. So I don't know if there's something that we need to do in order to say, can we fly that flag during the Olympic ceremonies while they're in LA? Or I don't know our protocol well enough to know if
I think this is a first, if I'm not mistaken. So we need to figure out what that is. City attorney.
And I think, at least I'm not aware of any reason, at least from our standpoint, where the council would not be able to direct staff to do that. We may want to check with Special Olympics before.
Very good. Yep. So then I think we will find a location and a place to fly the flag.
Okay.
Sound good?
That'd be great.
Okay. Let's move on to item number two. This is a certificate of appreciation to Carmen Soto, Tiny Tots instructor. She's retiring after 25 years of teaching with Parks and Recreation Department. And so, Kathy, how do you want to handle this?
Mayor and City Council members, I'd like to introduce Mrs. Carmen Soto. And if we could have a picture with the certificate and the council members, and then I'd like to read a few words about Mrs. Carmen.
Okay, very good.
Go ahead.
You want to go down there?
Okay.
Let's get you in the middle.
Honorable Mayor and City Council members, the City of Grover Beach and the Parks and Recreation Department have been fortunate to have Mrs. Carmen Soto as a teacher in the Tiny Tots Enrichment Program for over 25 years. She has been a hardworking, creative, and loving teacher to hundreds of children in our community. As one parent described her satisfaction with her, Mrs. Carmen created a welcoming and safe environment for children and is so great with them. Our kids are excited to go to school, asking every night, do we have school in the morning? And I would like to say on a side note, my daughter went with Mrs. Carmen as well for 3 years and would say the same thing as well. She helped children during their early critical brain development years to grow, learn, and play. Over the years, many of her previous students have come back to visit and share their stories of adulthood. Some have even enrolled their children in the program. Carmen's own two sons were in the program and are now both college graduates. Mrs. Carmen said her favorite memories as a teacher included getting to know every child and to enjoy the support of the families. She easily tears up talking about the children and says Tiny Tots always felt like a family. She and her fellow teacher, Sandy Mershon, were instrumental in creating special events and programs such as the ice cream social and silent auction, graduation ceremonies, holiday parade float creation, and field trips. She will be greatly missed, and we wish her a happy and healthy retirement. And we made a little picture tribute for her over here, as well as some flowers and the world's best teacher coffee cup.
All right. Ah, very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I know 25 years, I can say that. I believe my two daughters had Carmen as a teacher in Tiny Tots, and my oldest actually is a kindergarten and pre-kindergarten teacher at the Children's Center at Cal Poly. So you inspired her, Carmen. Thank you for all that you have done over the 25 years and doing such a great job with our precious children in this community. Anyone else have any comments? Okay. So let's move on. We're going to go to public communications, but before we go any further, I do want to recognize Supervisor Adam Hill. He is here this evening, and so what I'd like to do is, Adam, just for a sec, I want to bring him up, and he'll be the start of our public communications. This is where community members have an opportunity to speak to the council on anything within the jurisdiction of the council, but please bear in mind we will listen and we cannot take action on any items that are not on the agenda. Supervisor Hill.
Your Honor, Mr. Mayor and Honorable Council, good to be with you. Good to see you as always. And it's good that I came here after we had a good storm yesterday, because one of the messages that I know we all have to get out to people, and that's why I want to give you a brief update on the on where we are in the county on the desal project, which is no matter how much rain we're going to get, we won't have enough. This city, of course, has been a model in conservation efforts. The citizens of the city have done a great job. But still down the road, we're expecting to see periods such as the one we're still enduring, you know, blistering droughts, some rain, droughts. So to that end, we have been working. I've been working since last year with PG&E, since they have the biggest desal plant in the West, over there in Diablo. We started to engage with them seriously, and now we are actually working together on a project. Just a quick overview, they have a desal plant that can produce at least 1.5 million gallons a day. It does. They do not need that much. They usually run somewhere, and I'm sure John could correct me, but I don't want him to wear his professional hat either, but 35 to 40%. So we would like to get that desal water. We'd like for them to produce as much as they possibly can, upgrade their plant if necessary too, get us a price that makes sense, and we will pipe it either to South County aquifers or perhaps if we decide that it makes sense, it can be treated up to drinking level standards as well, which they do already at the plant. So we feel very good about where things are right now. We're going to come back with a report at the Board of Supervisors on August 25th is the date right now, and we'll have more information that. But PG&E and their team and engineers and our public works team and also you know, folks in planning and also from our admin office and myself and Supervisor Compton, the other supervisor who represents South County, have been working on this. We feel very good about it. I think it's past the encouraging stage and actually into the stage of just actually figuring out all the things from engaging all the purveyors, engaging the municipalities, figuring out how best to work together. But we're going to do this for South County first because it geographically makes the most sense. We have a, just as we do everywhere in the state of California, a stressed aquifer here. And this is an answer to it. So we feel very encouraged about that. And I will continue to make myself available and update you on this. And I'm certainly glad to answer any questions. I see my time running down. I don't want to. But I'm happy to answer any questions on this or other matters as too, and always happy to take back anything I can get answers for you. So
don't go far. Let's see if we've got some questions.
Just had a quick question. Do we know when the Phillips 66 application is going to be heard by the Planning Commission?
Good question, because I think there's some public interest in that. I don't think it's been scheduled yet, because I'm not sure all of the work has been done in terms of all of the review and response work has been entirely done. You know, obviously there's a lot of people with great interest. It's received a lot of attention, but it hasn't to date been scheduled for a Planning Commission hearing. So whether it occurs in fall or winter, still anybody's guess right now. Once it's all done, we'll know. And that will be, I think that will be well known to everybody when that comes up.
May I?
Okay.
May I?
Yes, I'm Councilmember Bryant.
Hi, Adam. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, of course.
But back to the desal. Should everybody get on board and everything line up, what do you see as the actual realistic time frame as to when we might actually see some water?
Yeah, it could be as you know, again, a lot of it has to do, we're working even with our state lobbyists and we'll work with our state representatives to see if we can move a project forward with the existing permit and license that PG&E has. If there's further permitting and review, that could obviously add a lot of time. I mean, the plus side of it is you have an existing desal plant that has the ability, and you have an owner of that desal plant that's quite willing to work with us to provide more water. So it could be as could be a year and a half, which actually sounds a lot now, but a year and a half we might still be suffering through this terrible drought. So I really do think that the message we want to continue to get through to people, and again, like I said, this city's been a model about conservation, but the problems that we've seen in the past, Santa Barbara, for instance, I think at their city council is going to be considering bringing their desal plant back online. They built it in the 90s, had it online briefly, got a lot of El Nino years, took it offline, mothballed it. Now they're going to try to put it back online for $55 million or more. And the message is that no matter how much rain we get in our rain seasons, we're looking at forecasts that suggest that long periods of drought are going to be a, you know, and we're in California already, so having water difficulties is not true. But if you look at the state of all of the state's underground water resources, it's pretty scary.
Right.
So to me, I think a lot of the arguments that people have had and concerns about desal at this point, I think we're all just wanting to make sure that our citizens, our mutual constituents, and everybody else in our community doesn't have to worry about turning on the taps and getting water that's fresh and clean for them, that we want to do everything we can. So we will be working with the city and with the rest of the South County as well to make this happen. But I think a year and a half is possible,
Smashing.
Considering that you have an operating plan. Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Right. Well, as always, be in touch, and thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Hill. Okay, let's go to Gary McKibble, followed by Lawrence Schinderman.
Gary McKibble, the Pomo. The last time I was before this council was exactly 3 months ago, on April 20th, 2015, when I made a statement against the P66 project, which is followed by a statement by Paul Stoltman, who's sitting over there, who's a former director of the Office of Atmospheric Programs for the federal EPA. Mayor Scholz reacted to Paul's statement by claiming that this was the first time he was hearing about the multiple health and safety Class 1 impacts associated with the P66 project. Just look at the recording of that council meeting. The mayor acted truly surprised by this revelation. It was as if the presentation of the rail terminal project, which the mayor attended at the Trilogy community on November 11th, 2014, had never occurred, or that the mayor had never spent any time researching the project on his own, despite telling several of us when we met with him at Starbucks in March 2015 that he was very familiar with the project. April 20th was also the public genesis of the mayor's mantra, "We need to do more research on this project," a mantra that he appears to be using with greater frequency as towns, cities, school districts, educational and health associations up and down the rail mainline unite in opposition against this project. Mr. Mayor, they've all done their research. What are they missing that you are hoping to find? Don't be disingenuous and pretend that you know less about this project than you really do. You told us at Starbucks that you were somewhat of an EIR expert guy yourself, so I assume you know that there could be nothing in the final EIR that could be materially different than what is already in the revised draft EIR. Mr. Mayor, you are not elected to advance the profits of a single multinational oil corporation headquartered in Houston. You were elected to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens of Grover Beach. You were elected to preserve and promote the economic viability and revitalization of your community, a mandate that is inconsistent with playing oil roulette, a dangerous game which many community officials throughout the country know can result in disastrous consequences to their citizenry and business communities. You have had at least 8 months to question, study, and review the EIR. Tell us, what more research do you need to do? Be a leader. Take a stand. Put this issue on the agenda for a vote. At this point, the only thing you are demonstrating by sitting on the fence is a lack of courage.
Mr. Schinderman.
Distinguished Mayor, members of the council, very similar comments I'm going to be making here, perhaps not as eloquent as my friend Gary. Over 22 municipalities and school districts along the Union Pacific mainline have stood up and said no to the Phillips Rail Terminal project. Their reason, they don't want to play oil roulette and place their communities in danger along the blast zone route. The 85,000 member of the California Nurses Association sent a letter to the San Luis Obispo County Planning Commission opposing the project. Adding to the opposition is the nation's largest professional union, the National Education Association, with nearly 3 million members in 50 states, that voted earlier this month to send a letter urging the San Luis Obispo County supervisors to reject the project permit. The NEA letter notes that there are at least 29 schools in the San Luis Obispo County alone that are close enough to the planned crew-by-rail route to suffer catastrophic consequences from a train derailment or an oil spill. Their reason is simple and direct. Put student safety first. They don't need more time to study the issue. Phillips says, wait for the final EIR. Well, there's nothing that could possibly change in the EIR to alter the 11 Class 1 impacts that cannot be mitigated. There is no magic wand to wave to mitigate these impacts. As council members, let me ask you folks a simple question. What is the one overarching and compelling significant benefit to the community with this project, especially when weighed against the impacts of the health, safety, and yes, economic viability of Grover Beach? With this era of 24/7 news cycles and the internet, any derailment explosion in Grover Beach would be viral on the internet and picked up by news organizations across the country in seconds, and there it will live forever. Thus, anytime anyone does a search for off-roading or vacationing in the Central Coast, in lieu of images of happy vacationing families, they will see the twisted carnage of burned-out crude oil tankers. Phillip used the term viability several times in their presentation. With a new convention center on the drawing boards, why would you want to put your economic viability at risk? Because the P-66 project would be approved. If approved, mile-long bomb trains would be traveling and barreling down the rails five times a week for 20 years or more. Is that a bet that you folks want to make, that a derailment and spill or fire explosion won't happen at Grover Beach? There is no upside for Grover Beach. This project benefits only the single interest of Phillips 66, headquartered in Houston. Folks have said they don't want to outside, they don't want outside interests commenting on a local project. Well, Houston's special interest at your expense is as outside as it gets. It's rather ingenuous after 18 months, as Gary said, for Grover Beach to say more time is needed to study this issue. Now is the time to write to the Planning Commission and say no to this odious project. Thank you.
Mr. Varney, followed by Kathleen Mink.
Hello, I'm Charles Varney, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. On July 11th, we had a big rally and march in San Luis Obispo, which I'm sure some of you saw coverage of, and an excellent article in the Telegram Tribune. We had 400 to 500 people from across the county, many of them from five cities, Grover Beach, Oceano area. They're protesting the Phillips 66 project. The pressure is growing for local entities to take a stand. I applaud you again that you have gone on record saying that you have agendized this item for this fiscal year, and I expect that you will follow through on that. I think that if you have decided that you're going to wait for the final EIR before you agendize it, it'd be good just to, like, let us know that, and then maybe we lighten up on you, you know, in terms of that part of it. One thing you don't need a final EIR for is to fulfill a responsibility, I think a very important one, and that is to let people who live in the blast and evacuation zone in Grover Beach, which is 78% of the population, know that there is a Phillips 66 project. As we walk the neighborhoods canvassing them, we find that upwards of 80% of people don't have a clue about it. I was walking 3rd Street, South 3rd Street, the other day, talking with like cabinet shops and, you know, the things that are like, they're 20 yards from the rail line. None of those guys, and it was all guys I talked to, none of them had a clue about the P-66 project. That was a big crack in the floor of the EIR. I mean, people, it should have been mandated that everybody in the blast zone get a letter notifying them of the project, but they have not. That serves Phillips' interests, keeping it quiet, not letting people know about it. So I would encourage you to just put something together. We'd be happy to help you stuff envelopes, put it in the water bill, the garbage bill, and send it to people in that area so they know about the project. They have a right to know that. If you were living in the blast zone and you didn't know about it, you would want to know. Finally, 34 seconds. What was my final point here? I'm going to take a couple of seconds to settle down here. So I think it's really important that people are notified. Oh, and then I know what it is. This is for the mayor, too. Remember a few months ago when the UP guy was here and you were asking him about what the heck is with those tank cars down there and all the graffiti over them and how responsive and sensitive they've been to your concerns? I mean, I'm pretty sure that if P66 gets their project in, those cars aren't going to be there. The oil train tanker cars are going to be sitting down there. This is the only siding between here and the refinery. And so that's where the overflow, the backup, it's all going to be sitting down there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Varney. Kathleen Mink, followed by Judy Park.
My name is Kathleen Mink. I've been a teacher here in Lucia Mar for 32 years. When I was contemplating how to approach you this evening, knowing that you haven't yet taken action on this issue, I thought about our two distinctly different cognitive systems, the rational and the emotional. You've already heard the facts. Rationally, you know that this project not only presents the possibility of disaster in the event of a derailment, but also the certainty of an increase in asthma and related health concerns. Rationally, you know that 7 Lucia Mar schools and 29 Slo County schools are in the blast zone, and yet you have not taken action. So I'd like for a moment to appeal to you on an emotional level. When I first became a grandma 20 years ago and witnessed the beauty of my daughter giving birth to her daughter, the feeling of the circle of life profoundly washed over me. I knew in that instant that I would do anything to protect this brand new little child. I'm not unique in this. I think it's written into our DNA to want to protect our children, whether as parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, or mentors. Perhaps that's why the professions that make the safeguarding of our children the focus of their life's work have already unequivocally taken a firm stand against this project. The California Nurses Association, my local teachers association, LMUTA, the California Teachers Association, and the National Education Association have all written opposition letters to Slo County already. They didn't wait for the final EIR. When they learned that schools are in the blast zone, they acted immediately. You have the power to do the same. Please join the growing body of elected officials who are taking a stand now. In the words of the president of the National Education Association, the NEA, writing to Slo County from Washington, D.C., quote, "Please put student safety first. I implore you to reject this proposed expansion," unquote. You have the choice to protect our children and oppose this, or to look the other way and be silent. Inaction is itself a choice. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Judy Parks, followed by Penny Rappa.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. We continue to actively and sincerely appeal to you, Mayor Schulz and Council, to accurately and responsibly represent the will of the majority of Grover Beach residents, their safety and well-being, by presenting a majority no vote to the Slo Planning Commission regarding the proposed toxic tar sands crude oil train chugging through our community 5 times per week for 20 years. Since most of us live in the lethal blast zone, we need to be realists and acknowledge it's not a matter of if there's a derailment, it's a matter of when. The U.S. Department of Transportation projects 10 derailments of oil trains per year. all hours for China-bound export, vote no to this suicidal proposal. Thank you.
Thank you. Penny Rampa, followed by Stacy Avalar.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor, City Council members, and staff. My name is Penny Rappa. I am here as a trustee for the Land Conservancy of San Luis Obispo County. I'm here to give you an update on the Pismo Preserve. The Land Conservancy announced in January 2014 that we would be pursuing the most ambitious project in our history, raising $12 million in 8 months to purchase and construct the Pismo Preserve. We have you and our agency funders to thank for your confidence in our ability to see this project come to life. In the 10 months since the Land Conservancy successfully closed escrow on the Pismo Preserve, the pace of our effort has not let up. These past few months, our staff and planning and design partners, the Wallace Group, have been working closely with the county, the city of Pismo Beach, and our core user groups to design and permit a truly exceptional open space preserve we can all enjoy. The guiding principles for this effort are to create a preserve system that is safe, sustainable, environmentally and culturally sensitive, and most of all, fun. Current designs will offer two parking areas, one for passenger vehicles and one for larger vehicles towing horse trailers, two restroom facilities, interpretive and wayfinding signage, approximately 16 miles of trails available to all user groups, and a 1 mile ADA accessible trail. The city of Pismo Beach has conditioned the Pismo Preserve to install all the infrastructure prior to opening. Certain trails will be completed in phases. A permit application was submitted to the county in April. The permit is nearly complete, and we have hoped to have it in hand by the end of August. Meanwhile, we have partnered with the Central Coast Concerned Mountain Bikers and have begun flagging the trail alignments in preparation for late summer trail construction. Things are picking up now. Volunteers are needed for trail work, so if people are interested, if any of you are interested, please give Teresa at our Land Conservancy office, 805-544-9096, and she'll pass you along to the right people. The number one question, when will the preserve open? We had hoped to open by the fall of 2015. However, given some unexpected complications, this date will most likely be pushed back to the summer or fall of 2016. Not all the news is bad, though. The vast majority of the trails at the preserve are outside the purview of the permit, which allows the Conservancy to be working on the trails, as I mentioned earlier. By starting this process sooner rather than later, we can engage volunteers and maintain enthusiasm, season or cure the new trails for a rainy season, which has been shown to drastically improve sustainability, and foster stewards who help with messaging to prevent unwanted visitation. We have lots of people who look at the preserve and think they can just walk up there. Anyway, I'm here to answer questions if you have any. Just wanted to keep you in the loop as far as where we're at with the preserve.
Any questions of Ms. Rappa?
Just one quick question. If you could repeat Teresa's name and phone number.
I certainly can. The Land Conservancy's office number is 805 544-9096. Her name is Teresa, but I think anybody can take your name if you're interested in helping out.
Great.
Thank
actually,
you.
Certainly my second question for you is, are there set times for helping to establish the trails, or are you doing it pretty much at the availability of the volunteers?
It's based on the availability of the volunteers.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Thank you very much.
Okay. Stacy Avalar, followed by Andrea Seastrand.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm going to be sharing an article with you that Andrew Christie wrote recently in the Santa Lucian because I think he has some good points to make regarding when we're going to see this on the agenda. The suggested course of action that originates with supporters of Phillip 66 in the oil company's primary civic stronghold, the Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach Chamber of Commerce. So they've come out for the project, and they're suggesting that everybody wait for that final EIR. But any major changes between the draft and final project review would result in a do-over, as in fact occurred when Phillips was forced to issue a revised EIR. The basic nature of the project doesn't change between a draft and final EIR. So you're not going to see too much, you're not going to see any difference in the project. And second, the Phillips 66 project's an environmental and public health disaster by design. For example, last month, the Forest Ethics Report, Crude Injustice on the Rails, reported the industry calculation that 1% of the volume of oil trains is lost to off-gassing through pressure relief valves. That means that 20,000 gallons of virulently carcinogenic chemicals from the dirtiest oil on the planet and its toxin diluent released into the air as those trains roll past homes, schools, and workplaces, 20,000 gallons per train 5 times a week on their way to the Napomo Mesa. Add to that the particulate matter that will be emitted by the 15 diesel locomotives necessary to move 10 million gallons of oil a week, bringing increases in asthma attacks, cardiopulmonary-related deaths, heart attacks, and cancer. There can be no fix for that in any EIR. It's not a worst-case scenario on a scale of probability. It's in the project. So it's highly unlikely that any city council could agendize, draft, and deliberate on a letter of opposition in the time interval between the release of the final EIR and the date of the County Planning Commission hearing, which could be as brief as 2 weeks. And Phillips knows that. So that's why we're here every 2 weeks talking to you about this. And I also wanted to say we did have a wonderful rally, and Mayor Marks made a very good point that this isn't a partisan issue. This is a health and safety issue. And I want to reiterate what Charles Varney said, that we think a lot of our people that we're talking to as we canvass in town don't know a thing about the project. This is the first they've heard about it, even though it's been in the paper, it's been in the news, there's been lots of letters to the editor. People just are not aware. And we at least need to put a notice in their trash or water bills so that they can be informed about what's coming. We just had another spill a couple of days ago, then they have 35,000 gallons of oil spilled in Montana. We've had, I think, 2 derailments since the last time I was here 2 weeks ago. So it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, and it's happening continually all the time. I think we're up to 7 or 8 oil train derailments just in 2015. So we'd like to see that to be avoided here in Grover, where 77% of our population is in the blast zone. So thank you.
Thank you. Andrea Seastrand, followed by Liz Dukas.
Well, good evening. Another great day in Grover Beach. Glad to be here. I just want to remind everybody, if you haven't looked at your inbox, I did email a letter that is written by Jordan Cunningham, who's president of the Central Coast Taxpayers Association. And I'd like to read that letter to you, and I have hard copies for everyone. This is to Mayor Scholes, but also CC to all of the council members. On behalf of the Central Coast Taxpayers Association, I'm taking this opportunity to inform the Grover Beach City Council that the organization has endorsed and joined the statewide Defend Prop 13 coalition with the purpose of defeating SCA, that's Senate Constitutional Amendment 5, the split roll tax proposal. Please know CCTA will vigorously fight any effort to put Prop 13, such as SCA 5. Prop 13 protects taxpayers, jobs, and our economy. If passed, this legislation will have a devastating impact to the small businesses in the city of Grover Beach. And I might add, this would be attacking hotels and motels also. CCTA is requesting the members of the Grover Beach City Council to pass a resolution opposing this legislation and send copies to Senator Bill Mawney and Assemblyman Kachuachajian, as well as the League of Cities. So I just want to say that I know I don't look a day over 29, but I'm passionate about this issue because in 1978, my husband and I were very involved in getting Prop 13 on the ballot. And as you know, it was overwhelmingly passed. And ever since 1978, every session of the Assembly and the Senate, you know, they come back trying to attack Prop 13 in different ways. This one is the split role, taking businesses, industrial, commercial businesses off the rolls protected by Prop 13, and that is not good for the businesses here in Grover Beach. So I'll leave this with you, and I hope that you will consider this at a very future, near future city council, because the session, I believe, the Assembly and Senate have gone out of session. If it's not now, it's coming up very shortly. And they will go back into session, I think, the middle of August and stay for 1 month. So a lot of mischief is done in that last month. I know I've been there. So they're going to move fast, amending and so on. But I would like to see that the city take a position for your businesses. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Seastrand. Liz Dukas. Ms. Dukas.
Thank you. Honorable Mayor and City Council members, I am here to present evidence of notices of violations and the chronic and ongoing lack of enforcement of city officials pertaining to 691 Atlantic City Avenue. Failure of their duty to protect the public health, safety, and welfare is supposed to be in accordance with Chapter 1 of the California Building Code, Title 24, Part 2. This stack of documents was first presented to the Mayor and City Council in 2011. There were four presentations filed over the course of 3 months regarding 691 Atlantic City Avenue. Following that, I made a request for an administrative hearing. I was ignored. I then filed a criminal complaint, and it was ignored as well. Be advised, the mayor, the city council, the city manager, the city attorney, the community development director do not have the legislative or legal authority to change law. They do not have the authority to change local zoning laws. They completely ignore the California Building Code, which is set in law for the protection of the citizens and the community. The California Building Code has requirements established for the safe and sound construction of structures. Your packet includes the notices of violation issued to the property owner of 691 Atlantic City Avenue. The notices were dated August 30th and September 23rd of 2010 by this city's building officials. These notices of violations were properly administered within the allowed 30 days. After the notices were rendered, the city manager and city attorney stepped in to prevent the enforcement of these notices of violations. May I reiterate, city officials do not have the authority to change our in-place zoning laws. They do not have the authority to ignore the prosecution of the violations of our municipal code under which our building codes are enforced. According to the street file for 691 Atlantic City Avenue, our city officials waived what is estimated to be $20,000 to $30,000 in permit fees. Included in the packet is a list of what I witnessed of what the new owners of 691 Atlantic City Avenue were doing to completely gut this structure and rebuild it from the ground floor up. This included the removal of the interior staircase, the pouring of cement inside the structure, the moving around of kitchens, changings of structural walls, rearranging of rooms, rearranging and adding bathrooms, and the possibility they move gas and sewer lines, which is the most troublesome of all. Finally, several windows and a rear door were removed from use. These windows and door were walled in and therefore are inoperable. I urge the mayor and city council to seriously take its oath to support and defend our Constitution of the United States and pursue an administrative citation. There are fines and penalties allowed under this citation. The city should require that this building structure revert back to its original configuration of a single-family home. It is an existing and unlawful and unpermitted duplex. You are supposed to be enforcing our laws. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Dukas. I have no more speaker requests, slips. Is there someone? I see someone coming forward.
Mayor, Council. I'm Linda McClure, owner of American Property Services and president of Grover Beach United. I must say I'm a little bit surprised tonight that Grover Beach United Car Show wasn't on this agenda, supposedly because I didn't put in everything that was necessary. But once again, I want to inform you, you're putting the cart before the horse. You want us to get letters from vendors that are going to give us toilets, that are going to give us several items here. You want us to write letters to the neighbors telling them we're going to have an event. How can I tell them we're going to have an event? We haven't been approved for an event. I can't even go out and ask for money for sponsorships in Grover Beach. Do you know how embarrassing it is for me to go into Pismo Beach to get sponsors to help us because I can't go to my own people? I think everyone up here knows that I am a Grover Beach resident. I'm very proud of being a Grover Beach resident, but I've truly almost had all I can take of trying to get a special event done within a reasonable time. I have been on this for 2 years now. The first year, I understand we had 6 weeks to do it. I did start this over 7 months ago, and all you need to do is change your ordinance that says, let us give you a small deposit to get the application started. Once that's done, we should have up to 30 days prior to an event to make sure everything is done and in your hands. Everything here that I am being told that we do not have, either Chief Copsey already approved, now it's changed because they want it done a little bit different, that's fine. We changed the map, it didn't get in until this morning. The surety bond insurance, sure, they'll send me anything I want as soon as I send them a deposit. Okay, I've got other things that came in, they didn't need a deposit, but the sound equipment. It'd be nice to be able to decide which of the two I'm going to take, but it's going to depend on whether or not we get the event, and then I can tell you which one we're going to take, because that'll be how much money it is that we're going to end up having to pay them. So you've pretty much tied my hands, and I don't know. I know that Kathy and everybody here has worked hard to help Grover Beach United and do this car show. But I can't even order car show T-shirts, which means I'm going to have to pay a lot more money to get them into this event, or the hats to get them into this event. I've got people that don't even want to do this until we're approved because they don't want to give us the money. I don't blame them. I don't want to give me the money either. I've got Adam Hill who's given us $500 and stuff, but yet I can't ask him where's the money because I don't know when the event might or might not take place. It would only take a few seconds for this council to change one sentence in that ordinance and say, you started out with an application fee, minimal, and then here's the list of items you have to have completed by the time you're done. If you get those done within 30 days, your event is a go. I would have had everything paid for, everything done, and into you. But I'm at a verge at this point that if something isn't done to where it makes it a lot easier for next year, I can't keep doing this. I'm putting in hours that are actually taken away from my own business to try to do something for Grover. And it's ridiculous that no one's gotten anywhere in months that this has come up. Thank you.
Okay, seeing no one else come forward, I'm gonna close public communications. City manager, do you have any status report on the special event that Ms. McClure is talking about?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Just recently, I made the decision that the item wasn't ready to move forward to the council because there were a number of items that we need to have confirmation of before I can move the application to the council. The application, the current ordinance does require that the council review a complete application and before making an approval. I'm more than willing to meet with Ms. McClure and as well as staff to determine how we can best expedite the remaining items that need to be completed so that we can forward the item to you for consideration.
Okay, very good. Do you have a question?
Quick question on that. This feels like the same conversation we were having after the event last year. So realizing the event as it comes forward is not that far away. How do we expedite this beyond communication and have it be considered?
It is obviously the ordinance that we currently have in place has certain requirements which we need to have fulfilled. These are essentially the same requirements as last year. The only way to maybe short-circuit that process might be to consider the changes in the ordinance that the council has discussed once. I expect that we had hoped to have it completed by this date, but I expect it will probably take us till September to be able to return with that ordinance at this particular time. So the most expedited way to move with this is to meet with Ms. McClure, her group, outline what needs to be done, and see what we can do about expediting the process for the remainder of the year.
Okay, and I think that's an approach we need to take then. Any other comments on that?
Please. So clarification regarding the ordinance being revised.
Yes.
You expect then that we will see that not until September?
Yes, that's correct. Given the current workload, it'll probably take at least until September to move that back for further council consideration.
Okay, and that'll be far too late, I guess, for this issue. Okay, thank you.
Okay. So I don't normally do this, but I feel compelled to make a comment. Mr. McKibble came in and made comments, and I've been doing this a long time, and quite honestly, I don't think I've ever had anyone come and make such allegations against me. What he fails to tell you is that the meeting at Starbucks and that discussion is where I said I will bring this item to the council, and we will have a fair discussion of it. That was a result of that meeting. I just think it's unfortunate individuals have chosen to characterize our process as supporting Phillips 66 when we have been on record and said we do not. Public safety is a priority, and that people that elect us want us to be not emotional but rational in our decision making. And so we are going to be taking a look at this item. We're going to be taking a look specifically at public safety in regards to what is going up and down the rail lines, emergency preparedness. So I take strong exception to those comments. And anyone in this community who has known me for the many years I've been involved in this community know that I try to be fair-minded in my deliberations, and I'm only one vote on this council. So with that, the council has chosen to go down a path, and we are pursuing that. And Mr. Varney, I appreciate your comments, because we do try to be fair in that deliberation, not to be emotional. Public safety is always a priority. And so we are going to take the appropriate action at the appropriate time. Anyway, I don't know if anyone else had anything you wanted to say.
Just a quick question. I don't know if it's appropriate here or in more of our council communications or council discussions or so forth, but has the fire authority taken a position, or are they planning on taking a position?
They have not. I will bring it up at the next meeting to have to see if the fire authority will take a position. Okay.
Yes. And I have had several inquiries as to when we are going to hear this item. So do we have some kind of an idea when it will be on the agenda?
Mr. Mayor, We've indicated, we've been following this with the county planning, and we know that it still appears some time before the final EIR is complete. Last we checked, there's no date yet. The Planning Commission meeting at the county level, consequently, won't be occurring until after that, and most likely will be sometime this fall. It was at least my impression that it was the council's desire to wait a little bit longer until that final EIR was complete, and then schedule the item in a timely fashion for whatever communication you chose to make to the County Planning Commission.
So then you feel that we are ready to go when the final EIR is issued?
It certainly is up to the council as to when you desire to have that actually scheduled.
So I would say this is not on the agenda. We'll talk more during council communication later tonight. Okay. Thanks. Thank you, everyone, for coming and making comments. It's public communications. We appreciate hearing from you. There are always items that we are not familiar with until you bring them to our attention, and we do the best that we can with the resources that we have. So with that, we're going to move on to our public hearings. We have no items under public hearing tonight. Let's move to our consent agenda, and we have, it looks like, four items on consent. The first is a Treasury report for the period of July 1st through the 14th, 2015. The second is a Treasury report, a streets bond account, measure K-14, street rehabilitation safety improvement bond measure for the period of July 1st through the 14th. The third is the minutes of the City Council meetings of June 1st, 2015. And then finally, consideration of a resolution amending the city's labor negotiating team. Do any members of the council want to pull any item from consent? No?
I'll make a motion, okay, then, that we accept the consent agenda and approve the consent agenda items as presented.
I second that motion.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Is there any discussion on that motion? Okay, seeing no discussion, roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you. Motion carries. Let's move on to our regular business. Item number seven, this is appointments to the Park, Recreation, and Beautification Commission. Ms. Petker, are you giving this report?
Oh, yay, they're still here.
Honorable Mayor, City Council members, good evening. Thank you. We currently have two vacancies on the Parks, Recreation, and Beautification Commission. One is the unscheduled vacancy of a commissioner with 2 years left on their term, and the second was the expiration of a commissioner's term. That is the Commissioner Geraldine Roseboro, and she has agreed to continue on the commission until this evening's activities to appoint new commissioners. The city staff promoted the position in press releases, local newspapers, city's website, government channel 20, and public notices and bulletin boards. Our advisory body screening committee, composed of Mayor Pro Tem Jeff Lee, Council Member Miriam Shaw, and Parks, Recreation, Beautification Commissioner Chair Heidi Boatman, conducted interviews with six applicants on July 13th. All the applicants were advised that this evening would be the night that the council would be considering the appointments. All of the applicants were well qualified and eager to serve the community. It was very inspiring to see all these people and meet them and hear their interesting comments. And at the conclusion of the discussion, the screening committee recommended that the city council reappoint Geraldine Roseboro to serve a 4-year commission term of office scheduled to expire on May 31st, 2019, and to appoint Mr. James Cooper to serve the remainder of the 4-year term of office scheduled to expire on March 31st, 2017. City council has several alternatives, and the advisory body screening committee recommends that the city council accept the committee's recommendations, adopt the resolution authorizing the reappointment of Geraldine Roseboro to serve the four-year term of office and to appoint Commissioner James Cooper to serve the remainder of the four-year term. And upon appointment, we would like the City Council to introduce Commissioner James Cooper. Commissioner Roseboro is not available this evening and be happy to answer any questions. And Mr. Cooper is in the audience this evening, along
Thank
with
you.
Chair Boatman.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Any questions of staff?
No.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem, did you have any comments you wanted to make?
Yeah, I'd be happy to make some comments. I appreciate Ms. Boatman and Ms. Shaw being on the committee. It was, as Kathy mentioned, it was a pleasure to meet everyone. And I think the two choices that we are bring at the screening committee is bringing forward tonight are very well qualified. Everyone, as Kathy again mentioned, had exhibited a real passion for the city. And I hope that those that weren't chosen will continue to volunteer and to be part of the community and to stay involved in the community. So we really hope that that does. But it was a strong recommendation from the committee that we reappoint Ms. Roseboro and then appoint Mr. Cooper for the remaining unexpired term. Or the expired, what is it? Is it in the
unexpired?
The unexpired term.
Okay, very good. This is a business item. I'm not going to open this up to the public. So is someone prepared to make a motion on this item?
Well, go ahead. You go.
I will make a motion that we accept the screening committee's recommendation and adopt the resolution authorizing the reappointment of Geraldine Roseboro to serve a four-year term of office and James Cooper to serve the remainder of a four-year term of office.
And I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion on the motion, put roll call, please.
Yes.
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 Yes. Motion carries. And so with that, I would like to introduce Mr. Cooper. Would you welcome to the commission? Do you have any comments you'd like to make?
I just want to introduce myself. I'm James. Really enthusiastic about getting involved. Been here for almost 2 years now and loving it, and really excited about how I can help contribute for the next 2 years. So, yeah, it's good to meet you all.
Cool. And thank you for volunteering and to spend time helping in the city. Really appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much. Okay. Very much. Appreciate it.
If I can make one comment on our process, it was really, really exciting. We had a full evening of interviews. I mean, and we got great ideas from each of the people. They had so many new ideas. And aside from one or two people, these were all new faces stepping forward, which I found really, really exciting because sometimes in town we see the same faces stepping up to volunteer. And so this was really cool and really promising. So we're excited to get a new face, and hopefully we won't wear you out, but we're welcome.
Or scare
he's
you off.
He's ready for it. He's ready for it. Very good. So let's move on to item number 8. This is a contract amendment and budget amendment for the engineering project manager, public works director, city engineer Ray.
Good evening, honorable mayor and council. If you could bear with me for a moment, I will get a PowerPoint presentation started. Here we go. And thank you for introducing the item. As the mayor mentioned, it is a contract amendment and budget amendment for engineering project manager, in particular for the Oak Park Boulevard project. There we go. And so some brief background on Oak Park Boulevard, probably not telling you anything new, but it's a very heavily traveled regional arterial. In fact, it's one of the most heavily traveled arterials in the city, carrying just over 16,000 vehicle trips per day. The condition is very poor. The street saver program and our Pavement Engineering Incorporated went out and did street analysis or pavement analysis on it, and the pavement condition index turned to be somewhere between 18 and 31.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I was a little off. You were talking about Oak Park when the item before us is the engineering project manager. Okay.
It is, no, yes. So related to the Oak Park project, so I was giving you just some background on Oak Park in particular, okay. Which hopefully will tie in, if you'll bear with me. So, and as you know, Oak Park generates a number of complaints. So the Oak Park project itself is funded by regional surface transportation program funds and urban state highway account funds and some gas tax funds in an amount of about $1.7 million. We put together a project schedule for council. That schedule has actually slipped a little bit because the RFP has been on hold. But we estimate now that the design for the Oak Park project could be complete by December of 2015 and could actually bid, you know, in December of 2015 would be the beginning of the bid period. Looking at that rather aggressive schedule, we've determined that staff would need additional resources in order to meet that schedule. And looking at our options, we have an existing contract with Hollenbeck Consulting for the bond-funded project. And the obvious go-to would be to consider a budget amendment with Mr. Hollenbeck for additional funding to allow him to, in fact, also provide project management services for the Oak Park project. An option would be to fund this out of the current funding for CIP 283, which is a local street rehabilitation project. And pretty quick staff report, but that's basically the bottom line. Staff is recommending that in order to maintain the schedule as presented to council, that council adopt a resolution amending the contract for project management services related to the street rehabilitation and repair program, and adopt a resolution amending the annual appropriation resolution to provide funding for engineering services for the Oak Park Rehabilitation Project. Staff is recommending a budget of approximately $50,000 that would extend through the bidding phase. And again, the funds would be allocated from Capital Improvement Project 283, which is a local street maintenance program, and allocated to CIP 276, which is the Oak Park Rehabilitation Project. And with that, I close my rather brief staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Ray. Any questions of staff? None to my left. Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you. Just a couple quick questions. Thank you, City Engineer Ray, for that. One of which is the staff report indicates a local match of $53,000 for design. Is that separate from the $50,000 you're requesting this evening?
It is separate.
Okay. And so is this the only portion of the project funding that is not complete? So, I mean, do we have money in the RSTIP funds for construction management, for bidding, for everything construction-wise? So with this, the project would be completely funded?
That would be, yes. With this, the project would be completely funded unless during the design process we find out that for some reason we need additional funding. But as estimated currently, yes, the project would be fully funded.
Okay. So then my only other question would be is, with the design and the RFP moving forward, where does the gas line fit into this design? So where are they in their process?
So Phillips 66 has a proposed gas line project that runs really the entire length of North Oak Park Boulevard. They are ready to pull an encroachment permit. And we're at the phase where we need actually some design information from this project, some preliminary design information from this project in order to be able to provide them with a cost related to their work for pavement rehabilitation. So we're trying to figure out how to shortcut that process a little bit, but we feel that, and Phillips 66 feels that they would probably come in ahead of us, trench, complete their installation, and that then we would do the pavement rehabilitation project behind them, which would include the permanent repair of their trench. Their trench would have a temporary repair waiting for this project.
Okay, that generated a secondary question, if I can. So with regards to the permanent trench, So do we not know what the structural section of Oak Park, and I apologize if I start getting technical here. We don't know what the structural section of Oak Park is scheduled to be?
We do not. We have a range of potential structural sections and a range of options. And we're, like I said, I'm trying to sort of shortcut the process to try to get to a preferred alternative so that we can then present that to Phillips 66 for their contribution into the project.
Okay. So
to clarify a little bit, if this helps, Oak Park Boulevard consists of about 9 pavement sections, ranging anywhere from 2 inches of asphalt on sand to, in some cases, 6 inches of asphalt on sand to as much as 7.5 inches of asphalt over 8 inches of base. So it's a challenging project to try to pick a single pavement design that covers all those different existing structures.
And again, I apologize if I get down into the weeds. What is Phillips 66 proposing? And does that not fit one of the scenarios? Or I don't even know. Maybe they haven't proposed something. But and I guess where I'm going, and maybe I'm sidetracking this with regards to the timing for the two projects. So if we're going to go out to bid in December, obviously they're going to lose their construction window. So they would be anticipating their permit would then be for next construction season. Are they trying to construct this still in this fiscal or this calendar year?
Phillips 66 anticipates they would be in construction before September.
Okay. So then being the last week in July, there's not a whole lot of time for us to be making that decision. Is our timing consistent with theirs, or is this going to push their project back? With regards to waiting for this design to move forward, because I don't know if the design, the RFP, it sounds like, is not going to be ready in order to get them an answer by September.
Great question. I'm sorry. We missed a spot there. So we're doing preliminary design work already in an effort to shorten the project schedule, the design part in particular. We have already hired a consulting engineer, PEI, who you're familiar with, to go out and do the pavement evaluation and to come up with the recommended design section. Oak Park Boulevard itself, the bulk of the design work will be in constructing and modifying the handicap ramps at all the corners, in dealing with utilities and striping and traffic control, and then ultimately coming up not just with the pavement section itself, but how to apply that pavement section such that we don't cause drainage and other problems on the street. So, okay. So we're moving ahead of this process independently.
Okay. So then bringing it back to the item before us this evening, this project management scope is not going to curtail the progress being made by PEI on the design component.
It is not.
Okay. Okay, but it will free you up to do other items.
That's correct.
Okay. Okay. That's
okay. So I'm just moving. Yes, I'm in support of the project manager. I have to say I was not surprised. But can you clarify again why this project is slipping in time, in the schedule?
It hasn't slipped much, but we did lose a week in preparing the RFP for design. And if you recall, two weeks ago, we were essentially ready to go out. And then 2 weeks ago at the council meeting, and this is the next item 9, council brought up an idea that we felt it would be appropriate to wait and see how that would fit in. So when we move to item 9 tonight, we'll have a discussion about that process.
Okay. So then what is the revised schedule? Because I think you were talking about this going out to bid in December.
We think this could be ready to bid in December.
Okay. Is that during the holiday season? And I'm just wondering how that would affect those companies that might be interested in bidding on the Oak Park rehabilitation project.
We have a pretty good group of design, of construction firms, I should say, both design and construction firms that are now heavily focused on our various street projects. I think we have plenty of interest and we have plenty of advance notice out that they'll be aggressively pursuing that.
Okay. That is on the record.
One question?
Yes.
Let's say for we decided not to get a project manager in an effort to save $50,000. Can you just explain how it would affect the timeline?
I can. You know, we have a pretty good slate of high priority capital projects, most of which I'm involved in some degree or other, in addition to managing public works maintenance and other functions in the city. I could probably dedicate a few hours a week to maybe four or five hours a week to work on this project. I would expect the project schedule would nearly double. So we would be in construction probably after summer next year. So.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. This is a business item. I see a couple of folks in the audience who I'll open this up and see if there's any comments from the public. Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the council and so we're prepared to make a motion on this item.
Okay. I'll make the motion then. I will make a motion that we adopt a resolution amending the contract for project management services relating to the street rehabilitation and repair program and adopt, And then adopt the resolution amending the annual appropriation resolution to provide funding for engineering services for the Oak Park Rehabilitation Project.
Very good. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion on the motion, roll call, please.
Yes.
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 Yes. Motion carries. Let's move on to item number 9. This is Gateway Design Discussion, West Grand Avenue at Oak Park Boulevard. Mr. Ray, you have the floor again.
Thank you. So a fairly good lead into the next item here. As promised, we'd be talking about one of the reasons we delayed the RFP. If you recall, Council brought up the concept that this may be a very good time to discuss the gateway improvements on West Grand Avenue at the intersection of Oak Park Boulevard. And so just as some background, again, the request for proposals for the design process for the Oak Park Boulevard project is ready to go out. Again, the project is funded by about $1.7 million in grants and other funds. And unfortunately, the project funding and current concept does not include construction of gateway improvements. So really the question before council is, do we revise the current RFP that's ready to go out to include gateway improvements at Oak Park Boulevard on Grand Avenue? Noting that there, I'm going to jump ahead in a slide here, noting that there is a potential to delay the schedule by as much as 7 weeks if we do ultimately get into the design process, which would probably push the actual start of construction back into early summer, June. And then if council chose to revise the RFP, noting that council will also have an opportunity to decide whether or not to actually fund and move the gateway project forward when we return to council for award of the design contract, which would be in September. So staff, in addition to the decision of whether just simply to move forward, staff doesn't really currently understand the full design scope that council has envisioned for the gateway improvements. So staff is seeking direction to define the scope of work and extents of the project. First, you know, regarding the extents, we're looking to council to determine if this is just the intersection improvements, you know, maybe immediately at the four corners, or if this might extend across West Grand Avenue to the east to the city boundary, which is several hundred feet east of Oak Park Boulevard, or whether this could extend west all the way to the next block potentially. Does City Council wish to remove the existing improvements that are there, or is this just an enhancement to the existing improvements at the intersection? Would the future improvements include street trees and planters, potentially decorative paving? Is council interested in acquiring property corners? And I noted in the staff report that there are some significant constraints relative to the four corners. We have a city sign in one of the corners. There is a Burger King sign located in another corner. There is a coffee service establishment in the third corner, and the fourth corner, I believe, belongs to the city of Arroyo Grande. Well, actually, to a private property within the city of Arroyo Grande. So these are some constraints that council may want to consider. And then ultimately, in looking at the various design plans that are available that mention this corner, staff is looking to council for direction on whether or not council wants to improve the functionality of that intersection. Some of the noted issues being the corner radius for southbound vehicles turning west, as well as the lack of bike lanes on West Grand Avenue approaching Oak Park. In your staff report, there are a number of attachments, and I have those here. I'm not sure how well, they're not too bad on the overhead. I'm not sure how well you can see them from across the room, but hopefully in your staff report you do have color versions of these. And you can see, and I'll move the mouse here on the lower right-hand corner of the screen. I cannot see the mouse. Lower right-hand corner of the screen is the intersection of West Grand Avenue and Oak Park Boulevard. And again, should have had this on. Apologies, there we go. There it is. And so currently today, there are these raised landscape planter beds that include a number of palm trees on the north and south side of West Grand Avenue, just west of the Oak Park intersection. There are no landscape improvements, at least no city landscape improvements, east this intersection. However, if you look in the next set of slides, which is a pretty good look standing, if you picture yourself standing literally in the middle of the intersection, looking to the north, you would see to your right-hand side in the east, the Rite Aid parking lot and building, and sort of the Arroyo Grande type trees. And then you'd see looking behind you, this is the juice bar here and the palm trees and some of their landscaping that are planted as part of that establishment. Looking behind you to the left, you would see the Grover Beach, Welcome to Grover Beach sign, and some palm trees that bracket that sign, as well as just the tip of that raised landscape planter. And then looking north up Oak Park Boulevard to your left, you would see the Burger King sign. And again, behind me, the raised planter and the existing palm trees with landscaping. So I think this is probably the better view to look at, unless council would like to consider the other one. Looking at the West Grand Avenue master plan, it also shows this area. Again, what it shows is simply palm trees as street trees. It doesn't really delve deeply into a design guidance for this section, but it does indicate that there should be, as it says right there, potential for a modified gateway to allow for bike lanes. And it does talk about functionality. And in particular, I believe it mentions that the right-hand turn is an awkward turning movement. So with that information in front of you, I know council will probably have a lot of discussion on this, but basically, staff has considered the following alternatives, and that is provide direction to staff regarding the scope and extents of the West Grand Avenue gateway design, and direct staff to incorporate additional services into the RFP for the Oak Park Boulevard rehabilitation design, or discuss the West Grand Avenue gateway design and determine that no changes are needed, or simply provide additional direction or alternate direction to staff. It is staff's recommendation that the council discuss the West Grand Avenue gateway design and provide direction to staff. I will touch again on the fiscal issues, and that is that the current CIP 276 Oak Park Boulevard rehabilitation project has a budget of approximately $1.7 million, but that does not include funding for these gateway improvements, design or construction. The funding is solely for street design, paving, and ADA corner ramps. It is possible that this project may be slightly underfunded, or we won't know until the design is completed. And if council elects to make gateway improvements, you know, the fiscal impact would again depend on the scope of work that council determines. Looking at this process, what staff is anticipating is that this would really be a preliminary design process, that we would include in the RFP an alternative for some preliminary design work. If council can help staff assist staff in defining the scope and extent of this project, we would go to the design firm, offer them an alternative, they would propose on it, and we see them bringing back a first design to council for consideration and guidance, taking that, modifying it, and coming up with sort of the final preliminary design, bringing that back to council for blessing. And then at that time, council could choose to again amend the design scope to actually include final design and preparation of construction drawings and specifications so that this could be included in the Oak Park project. So with that, I will turn it over to council.
Great, thank you. And thanks, staff, for bringing this item forward so we can at least have some discussion. But I will say two things with respect to this is we wanted to make sure that we didn't miss an opportunity if we're going to be doing Oak Park, if there's an opportunity to open up the intersection. I don't know what the extent of that is, but I would also say that after hearing this staff presentation, I'm not of the view that we need to delay Oak Park for 6 or 7 months. So let's kind of have some discussion and kind of see what the council majority wants to do on this. So okay. Who's got questions? Who's got comments?
I have both.
Okay. Why don't you? No, you can go first.
Okay. Thank you. I would say that my biggest concern is there an economic benefit to doing this now?
Potentially. There's a savings because of the, you know, being able to add additional concrete and asphalt work into a project that includes concrete and asphalt work. You're likely to see a better unit price. Because you're including it in an existing design project, you're likely to see some savings in the design process.
Okay. And the fact that you're using it as an alternate, I think that's an excellent idea, personally. I am, though, very much in favor of allowing functionality or improving the functionality of that intersection. I know that it's been a troublesome for many of our residents for many years, so we hear about it all the time. But I think I might as well. I'm going to give my opinion right now.
Sure.
Well, while I'm here. I think unless we're going to see a huge economic benefit, big savings, I don't want to rush to this. And I think, you know, this is being the gateway to our town. I think it's important that we give it a good deal of thought. And so I would prefer that we just, and I don't want to delay Oak Park. It's bad enough as it is when you say it's 18 in some places. Holy smokes. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. I think we'd be doing a disservice to the residents and the people that travel on that road if we were to delay that any further. So I would be supportive of doing this gateway project at a different time.
Okay. Miriam?
I think I agree with Councilmember Bright's comments. I had a couple questions. One big concern I have about that intersection that I hope is going to get fixed no matter what, I think I brought this up a bunch of times, but that huge bump, I mean, that's That will be fixed, right? When you go over the middle. That's not an enhancement.
Would you like me to comment on
that? Yes, you should.
Yeah. So, yes. yeah. So the idea is to at least consider what the alternatives might be. So in the current RFP, the part of the identified scope of work includes providing, as part of the design concept, providing some alternatives to reduce the severity of that grade break. You know, I looked at it myself to try to come up with some ideas of what might happen, and I didn't put together cost estimates related to that. That's part of what we need to look at, is what are the solutions, what are the anticipated costs related to those solutions. But definitely it is a consideration with this project.
Okay, because I guess I would just always say, if we're going to spend extra money or time, let's put it toward the bump. I've been behind cars that have lost stuff out of the back on the bump. It's unnerving. Is there going to be a bike lane on Oak Park once it's done? Because I don't think there is one now.
So our bike master plan shows Oak Park as a Class 3 bike lane, which means it does not have a striped bike lane. It's just signed. And the Class 2 bike lane is along West Grand Avenue. So.
Okay. And, yeah, I agree that we could table this for another time. One thing I might suggest when it's all done, because that is a frequently walked area, we walk that intersection all the time, is looking at an enhanced crosswalk would be great, mm-hmm. if possible. Also, I think if we're going to think about, the only thing I could even think to redo there was maybe someday redesign the Grover Beach sign, and I think we could easily do that without addressing the road. Maybe at that time, even putting in one of those digital signs that could tell people what's going on, as opposed to people having to hang up banners, which is probably a hardship. The only thing I could think to add are those, I love those little signs that say, welcome to Grover Beach, slow down and relax. And I mean, I think we could put those in later if we wanted to add a few more of those, but I agree with what everyone else is saying. And I've heard so many nice comments about the how we've done the other end of Grand Avenue with the colorful pavement, but that's also because it was grant funded. I think if we are taking it out of pocket and delaying a project, people will not be as supportive of that.
Okay. Councilmember Nichols, do you have any comments or questions?
Yes, I do. I definitely agree that we should not delay getting out the RFP for Oak Park in order to consider the gateway. I also agree that the gateway definitely needs some changes, the bump. A lot of people really object to the raised beds of palm trees. I think we have to really take a look at that and see what can be done efficiently in the best design, whether we're going to replace it or enhance it somehow, tie it in better. I would really, really like to see the continuity of what has gone on from First Street to Third, from Oak Park to 16th Street, as far as design goes. That way we have matching bookends entering our city. Granted, we can't get this all done at one time, but I would really like to consider asking whoever is doing the design on Oak Park, once that process is signed off, to continue to consider the enhancement of the intersection.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you. And I agree with the comments that have been made and the questions before me. I do have possibly a slightly different direction, not surprisingly, to potentially pursue us down. Greg, can you remind us, if you go back to attachment one, Can you remind us, what are the limits of the Oak Park project? Is it the back of the sidewalks, or is it the back of the curbs? So, or what's, I mean, where would the limit of the current project take us?
So the current project is really just the paving, plus with the federal requirement to improve corner ramps when you do anything more than about a slurry seal. Now, we would be addressing all the corner ramps from El Camino to Grand Avenue.
Gotcha. I apologize. I mean, within the intersection itself. Within the Oak Park Grand Avenue intersection.
So within the intersection, it would simply be, to the extent that these ramps are not in compliance, it would just be this very corner, just the ramp area, and I guess to whatever extent we'd have to extend or demolish and modify the existing corners to make up for grades if necessary. And then once you're outside of the corners, it would most likely just be the paving. However, addressing the grade break, I don't really know to what extent that's going to modify the intersection.
So in addressing the grade break is effectively going to be dependent upon how much water comes through that intersection from a drainage standpoint.
I think drainage is going to be a big constraint, yes.
Okay. So then the second question I have, maybe third, whatever the number is, the RFP that is drafted, it currently does not have any language in here about the enhancements. Is that correct? Or have you drafted some language in anticipation of what we might ask you tonight for the enhancements?
We drafted language in anticipation.
Okay, so. Great. Then perhaps going down the slightly different path there, realizing that it sounds like, with the exception of the mayor who hasn't commented yet, we are all in support of the potentially doing of enhancements, but I'm going to guess that you're supportive of some level of enhancements. So realizing that, and I'm going to throw my profession under the bus, engineers are not the right people to design or look at enhancements for this intersection. Perhaps a landscape architect or some other treatment of the some other profession might be more appropriate. I think it sounds like it's possible, and maybe this is where the question comes in, it's possible to include the draft language, to include as a part of the RFP some preliminary enhancement designs that we could then use at a later date. Is that correct?
It would be possible, and if I can think out loud a little bit relative to Councilmember Nichols' thought, and that is that, you know, we could again modify the RFP very slightly and say we're looking for an alternative that we might award as a contract, part of the contract, that at the end of the design process, if they have the appropriate landscape architecture and design people, that they begin a process to prepare some preliminary design work for council to consider. So, you know, that would mean that we would be through the construction document phase and out to bid and not having them delay the project in any way.
May I add to that?
Yes.
Thank you. The one thing that I would identify and focus the council on is that it is very important to separate the funding for the grant project from the funding for any enhancements or anything that's over and beyond the boundaries of that project. And even in the design phase, if a design engineer in the same project is being asked to design both, it may be difficult for the city to justify the costs. So it would be my recommendation that any consideration of joining the projects into an RFP would be as an ad alternate that specifically and separately identifies that this is a different project from a different funding, not part of the project. It would be a shame to jeopardize $1.7 million and have to respond to any inquiries with regard to where it was spent just because we merged the design of the two projects.
Point well taken, and I think that's exactly where we need to go. So let me comment on this. So, yes, I think you need to keep the two separate. The question is, what are some of the minimal things we can do
and the timing of them. So here's the bone I have to pick with everyone is we did improvements on three sides of 4th Street and nothing in the intersection. It's been years. So I want to, and Jeff, I think you were trying to ask this question. Does this project stop at the cross gutter on the north side of West Grand Avenue, or does it come through the intersection of Oak Park and West Grand?
I appreciate that question. It does stop at the north cross gutter, and to whatever extent it's necessary to move outside of that a little bit to address the grade break, if possible.
Okay, so then I think that's the scope of the project that's out, that we're going to be sending out to get a project manager and get designed. So that said, I think we need to figure out, is there an efficient way and a minimal way for us to use a different source of funding, whether it is our funds from 283 or any other account, to do, if nothing else, from the intersection to the city's easterly limits? Because it looks pretty odd if we're going to spend $1.7 million, we're going to do all these, and there's still a little section from Oak Park to where it says, Welcome to Arroyo Grande. So we've talked about, is there a way for us to do these projects and to do them in a timely manner so that we don't get all these great improvements on Oak Park, and yet we've got an intersection that is still deteriorating, and we've got a section that is in a highly visible location that we don't have planned out what the pavement treatments are. And this is kind of why I was trying to bring this up, because then the other part of that is, how do we sync that up with West Grand Avenue from Oak Park to 16th Street? Anyone who's driven or walked that street can see that it is in pretty bad shape. It's an entry into the city. And is there a way to do that? And I guess the question for the council will be, I agree with improving the functionality. Is it a simple version of being able to take out the palm trees that the raised planters? I think Councilmember Nichols brought that up. We've received lots of comments on that, and there is a bike lane, but I think people are a little afraid to drive in those bike lanes, and then folks are hitting those raised landscape planters. So is there a desire to remove those and do something different, and to the timing? So I didn't want to get bogged down in all of these different scenarios, because even when I look at the gateway improvements in front of Rite Aid is Arroyo Grande, and there's no way we're going to take out Black Sugar Cafe. So I'm kind of was curious that we're looking at all these different scenarios, but I just simply put, if we're going to do Oak Park, let's get it done. That's a priority, but let's not miss an opportunity to sync it up to where we use different funds if we need to, and at a very minimum, to do the intersection to the westerly or the easterly city limits where the sign says, Welcome to Arroyo Grande. Because I think one of the comments that I get often is people go, boy, you can see the difference between the two cities. All you got to do is just drive down Oak Park and go past that sign, and then you see the condition of the street. So I had talked about other streets doing something east of them and close. You know, what's the timing of trying to do some of the streets that are east of Oak Park if we're going to do this? So I'm okay holding off on the enhancements, because I think everyone's raised really good points. That's something that we should take our time on and hire a landscape architect. But is there a way for us to follow those up, that improvement up quickly by doing the intersection and doing some stretch of West Oak Park, if that's from 16th Street to the easterly city limits or otherwise? So trying to just kind of focus us on that initially.
And I think those are great points. That generated a question for me. Greg, you mentioned that we're effectively going to go to the hump, so which I'll plus or minus put through at the center line of the intersection. So we're not going all the way through the intersection with the Oak Park project?
The extents of the project are to the northerly cross gutter. That doesn't mean, though, that if, for example, one potential solution to remove the severe grade break was to simply lower the crown in Oak Park or in Grand Avenue as you cross it. If that's possible, again, given the constraints, then it may include the whole intersection as necessary to do that. But the project scope is really from north of Grand Avenue.
Well, and I guess maybe where my brain is going is, why don't we include the intersection in there? Is it specifically mentioned in the funding that we can't do the intersection, or it has to be a requirement of something? It's like, why can we not set the limits at the south cross back of the crosswalk on through that? Since if we touch the intersection, we have to do the ADA ramps anyway, even unless those two on the south side are already compliant. So, but we're going to end up doing work on that side of the intersection anyway. Why can't we just include that entire intersection into the Oak Park project? I had always thought it was, so that's why I'm asking the question.
So, yeah. That's a good question.
It is a good question. I think we could probably include the intersection. Again, it'll be interesting to see when the design is far enough along that we can get more accurate cost estimates where we stand. I have some concerns that we may not have enough funding to expand the project at all. On the other hand, we've talked about local street rehabilitation funds, and with some caution from the city attorney about combining projects and being cautious to keep them separate. I think that's a discussion I could easily have with SLOCOG relative to the RSTP funding, and to see if there's any reason we can't simply, on the scoping side of things, consider this intersection. And we can certainly drill down into that deeper when we have final cost estimates and decide what the project will be when we go to award construction.
So going back to the funding question, if I might, so the concern is that the 1.7 is not adequate to do the entire length from the potential project limits right now. However, we have Phillips 66 in their gas line project, and so clarify for me, if you would, you had mentioned in the last item temporary trench reconstruction. So can we not require them to do the permanent construction, and then we overlay that lane, or they reconstruct a lane as part of the encroachment permits? So, and then that becomes the limits of where, and maybe this becomes, sorry, my brain is going, okay, that's the design's not ready or along far enough to where we can tell them how deep to pave, I think is where you're about to tell me that. But can we not condition Phillips 66 to do more that we can have an economy of scale?
We have already conditioned Phillips 66 to pave approximately 16 feet, which is a significant contribution to the project. The problem right now is that their pipeline doesn't exactly follow a lane. It crosses over as necessary. They have similar constraints to a sewer line, if you will, that has to have a mandrel run through it, so it can't make sharp turns. So it doesn't exactly follow a lane, which is why we felt, in the interest of a win-win for both the city and Phillips 66, it would be better if they did a thin repair on their trench, and then we came back and did a full-depth repair at the full width using their contribution to the project. And do it all at once, so the project could proceed in a more thoughtful manner. Having them come through and do some permanent paving in odd locations would be kind of awkward for the project.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does, but I see it as a win for them and not so much of a win for us if we can't construct the full improvements along Oak Park. So My thought is, let's say we didn't have to reconstruct Oak Park. Their cost would be to put Oak Park back. So it sounds like we're not conditioning them to do that.
We're actually conditioning them to do more than that. Okay. Their cost at a minimum, you would condition a pipeline project to repave the trench width plus a little extra. In this case, looking at this as a commercial venture, which it really is, we've said, well, you have to pave at least a 16-foot lane width, which include a lane plus the parking area, well, most of it. And so we're asking for quite a bit. I think if we just weren't doing anything in Oak Park, we'd probably just see a trench patch all the way through it with their pipeline.
Mr. Mayor?
Okay. Yes.
If I could, I just want to clarify. The $1.7 million, though, that is available for Oak Park does not include that contribution, does it?
It does not include the contribution.
So the contribution will be added to the $1.7 million, which should make more available for the project as a whole, correct?
That is correct.
Okay,
so, but you're thinking, I apologize. Okay. So you're thinking that we're still going to be potentially short. Obviously, the cost estimates will bear that out, even with the Phillips contribution.
Yes.
Okay. But if we aren't, then there's a discussion from SLOCOG whether we can use some of those funds for a portion of West Grand, or am I overly complicating it?
No, I think that's all in the discussion we need to have with SLOCOG.
So I think maybe the direction we need to give is, I think we all agree, none of us want to delay Oak Park. We definitely want to look at enhancements. We want to take our time to make sure we get it right. So I think I can respect that, and I think that's where the majority of us are. So maybe the direction is that we give staff direction to add, or maybe do a bid alternate package, and that would be the full intersection in that short segment from Oak Park to the Welcome to Rio Grande sign or the Easterly City Limit. I think that's something, just want to make sure that we don't let the ball drop. And then I think maybe the other is, and we got to figure the timing to, and maybe it's something later that we look at West Grand from Oak Park to 16th Street, and then we can look at some of the enhancements.
I do like the idea of including the intersection. I originally thought that it would be straight through, but I could see that it's not. So I do think that's important. And then taking it right up to the other decent pavement line, I think, which would be the Welcome to Aurora Grande sign or whatever. I think that's important.
Could you remind me where that sign is? Is that past Vaughn's or is it?
It is probably about right where 7-Eleven is.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
Right there. Yeah, right at probably the back of 7-Eleven.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the medium, right?
Yeah.
Mayor Schulz, if I may.
Yes.
So as I understand it, I think I've got pretty good direction on this. If I understand it, we will simply include in the design process pavement rehabilitation of the intersection and east to the city limit sign. We can address the cost of that when we have the cost estimate, and I don't mean the design cost. Mm-hmm. And we can address the construction cost when we have the final estimates, and we can determine at that time if there are other funds, either via SLOCOG or via the city's own funding sources, that may be able to make it possible to, at a minimum, do the pavement rehabilitation in that area. So I think we can pursue that without much issue.
And Jeff, you have hang on a sec.
I was going to say, can I add a wrinkle into that?
Oh, so,
no.
Well, now that you're going to do it, let's hear from the city attorney first. You're throwing wrinkles, city attorney.
I just want to make sure that our design, is design being funded by any grant money?
It is being funded by a portion of the required local match. So I think they would consider that to be grant funding.
Right. I would recommend that before we go out on a singular design, in other words, that the intersection is included in the design of the entire project, that we clear it with the powers that are, the ones that write the checks, and make sure that expenditure is contemplated and approved within the grant, or if it needs to be separated, that we find that out. I don't know what description of the project was provided in the grant application, and if it's different than what we're going to try to get paid for it, and they're my pension.
Yeah, you're right. So I think let staff work that out. What's your good wrinkle?
With that being said, that obviously the grant and the funding needs to address that. Since if we're going to include the intersection, that's going to include at least to the backs of the side of the crosswalks, or the striping, mm-hmm. which means we can enhance the crosswalks as part of the project. So why don't we have a discussion about what kind of enhancements we might want for those crosswalks? It might be great to put on the westbound side, in front of the Grover Beach sign, the words Grover Beach in the crosswalk. So, I mean, whether it be in bricks or whatnot, or we could put our new faux wood on the east side. So, or we can put something like that. I think those, and notwithstanding the funding sources, I think those are some enhancements that we could do as part of this while we're pursuing potentially the phased additional steps.
That is a wrinkle.
with what funding would we do that?
Well, we would need to figure out the funding, obviously. But at least that, if we're going to impact those crosswalks, let's do something with them.
Okay. Mr. Ray?
So I think I would remind council that if we're getting back into a design process that includes enhancements, it's very likely to affect the schedule.
And maybe I need to clarify that.
Okay.
If the RFP is going to go forward, perhaps the RFP doesn't have any enhancements. As part of an augmented construction, we as a city say this is what we want in the crosswalk. It's taken out of the project for Grand Avenue. Therefore, there's no grant considerations, no grant funding problems. We issue a separate contract for those specifically two crosswalks.
So you're saying not a change order.
Not a separate contract. Yeah. As a city then effectively say this is what we want in the crosswalks. The limits of the work for Grand Avenue are the front side or the interior portion of the crosswalks. And then we take on the other two if that's a concern with funding and timing and all of that.
You run a risk of having to bid it.
Excuse me?
You run a risk of having to bid it.
I would fully anticipate that whatever purchasing requirements, it would effectively be a small city project to do those crosswalks. So is that?
I know I brought up the crosswalks, so what I meant was more like what we have on 4th Street with just the lights and the safety, as opposed to a look. So I don't know if the lights and safety thing could be later, if that could just be added later. But that's what I thought.
Okay. Probably could do it later.
I just think of downtown Arroyo Grande and how it's very pedestrian friendly and people are walking and you hit that light and it all seems to slow down for you. And not that that's going to happen at the intersection, but you just feel a little safer.
And I would recommend that staff checks into design issues. These are two arterials that are crossing, and I'm not sure that those type of lit sidewalks that you're mentioning, like on Higuera or like we have on 4th, are appropriate for that level of traffic. I just don't know. But I've never seen them at a major intersection.
Yeah. So I don't even know. But that's what I thought of. But carry on.
Okay. So I just wanted to have a discussion about taking out the raised planters and the palm trees. That was all. That was it.
Well, you know, I would be in favor of that, but unfortunately, it's not. I know it's hard for our fire for emergency response to access that turn well and other large vehicles as well. So I certainly would be in favor of that, but I don't know if we can do that.
Yeah, I don't think we can do it now. So I think that in order not to delay the RP or the schedule, is we definitely, I think it makes sense to include the intersection and going to the easterly city limit line. I don't know what it looks like with the new wrinkle that the Mayor Pro Tem brought up.
have one more question.
Inquire on one more question of the city engineer. Are both sides of Grand east of Oak Park city property?
Yes.
Okay.
Including the Rite Aid corner?
The corner is not.
The pavement.
You mean the pavement? Pavement is our is city responsibility.
I'm talking about pavement. I didn't know if it was a center line or a pavement.
No, when they negotiated the city limit lines along Oak Park and at that intersection, I don't even know if Grover Beach had representation there. So we have gotten stuck with the bulk of the maintenance and the least of the tax dollars coming from it. So it's really an unfortunate situation. But I think, Bob, what we're really looking for is doing the Oak Park project, not delaying it. If we can extend it into the intersection and then do the section to the East Dilley city limits, and whether that, if that's a different funding source, that's fine from a construction standpoint. Because I think we just need to look at what is the funding for doing the bid alternate. I don't know if I have a problem with that if we're going to use our own funds to do that sort of thing.
If I may, I think we can manage that process of keeping the funds separate if necessary, and track those independently all the way from design through to construction. So
okay.
I'm not, it is a legitimate concern, but I believe we can handle it.
Okay. And then maybe at some point we'll have to figure out when you come back and have the discussion about gateway enhancements, and I see where you were trying to go with that. I just can't figure out what's the best way to do it now. So I think we just make sure we don't miss the opportunity if we're going to do Oak Park, that we go through the intersection and we don't have a small segment in our city that doesn't get taken care of. And so you got smooth pavement in the Rio Grande, smooth pavement at Oak Park, and the section that is still deteriorating. I think that makes sense for us to do that.
Could I ask another question along that line? What about the part of Oak Park that goes, I thought you were talking about going past Vaughn's. I mean, that part of Oak Park is not going to be done. Is that in okay shape? Because that's not a residential street. I mean, what could we ever do about that? Or,
well, let's just say it's got its own set of issues, and I think that is a discussion at a future meeting, and the use of monies from our fund, 283, the local rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because you're exactly right. The street bond measure allows us to do residential streets. One of Oak Park is not one, but we do have funds that have been set aside to do a project like that. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Do you feel like you have any direction?
I do. Let me reiterate what I believe I've heard, and that is that so with the RFP, we would include design of the pavement rehabilitation in the intersection and east along Grand Avenue to the Easter city limits, which is about a tenth of a block there. We would not be considering any other enhancements at this time, that we would approach that at some future date, and that we will keep the funding sources separate if necessary, but we will check with SLOCOG to be sure that that is a concern they have. They may, in fact, just simply say it's not a problem to expand the scope a little bit relative to, as long as it's pavement rehabilitation. So we can address that when we get to it. And what we would bring to council then is at award of construction, we would bring the costs associated with these, and there might be additional decisions to make at that time.
That sounds correct. Okay. So I think we have a consensus on that. Thank you, Greg. So let's move on to item number 10. This is discussion regarding scheduling a special joint City Council Parks Recreation and Beautification Commission meeting during the month of September. City Manager.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. The council had requested a joint meeting, and as a result of that, in the month of September primarily, to ensure that it occurs prior to the League of California Cities meeting, which I believe is at the end of September. Mm-hmm. I have some suggested dates for you to consider. Among those are Thursday, September 3rd, Thursday, September 24th, and possibly Monday, September 28th.
So So, may I?
Yes.
So it was September 3rd?
September 3rd, which is a Thursday.
Okay. And the next one?
September 24th and Monday, September 28th.
Thank you.
So is the 3rd not the league convention? Do I have that on my calendar incorrectly?
Yeah, I believe it's the end of September.
Yeah, it's September 30th, 30th October
30th, 30th, 2nd. 30th, October 2nd, yeah.
Then I do have it incorrectly on my calendar.
Yes.
Okay.
That's shocking. what happened? But, you know, it usually is earlier in the month.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So September 3rd, 24th, or 28th? Anyone have any preference on those? So one is a Thursday.
The sooner the better, please.
The 3rd would actually work for me. I may be out of town on the 24th, maybe. So.
How about you, Ms. Bryant?
I think the first Thursday of the month is okay.
That works for me as well.
Yes, it works for me. Barbara, that work for you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well.
Okay.
And then it's September 3rd.
September 3rd.
Cool beans.
Okay. We don't have any pool consent items. Council committee reports. Councilmember Bright.
May I go later while I'm
trying to do
my calculator? I mean, my calendar, please.
Mayor Pro Tem Lee.
I had no committee meetings.
Way to get us off to a really good start. Councilmember Nichols.
I had no official committee meetings. The Friends of Prado did have a meeting, and again, the focus there is on how to make a bridge between the separation between funding for Maxine Lewis and the funding for Prado with different mailing lists and so on and so forth when it's going to be under one roof, literally, soon. So they're making overtures to various Unsundry people on how to accomplish this, whether it will be still two separate funding-based things with that will end up with sort of equal contributions to the shelter, or whether it will be an umbrella funding group.
So they not talk, so they would continue to maintain Maxine Lewis shelter, or would they be building
a
new one?
They do Prado.
Prado, that's right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, and they probably provide over half the support of Prado.
Gotcha.
And Maxine Lewis group is not quite as large and is not quite as well funded, apparently, or successful in their fundraising events. So it's just a lot of how do we go about this?
Yeah.
And it's a pretty interesting problem to get into.
Gotcha. Yeah, that is definitely. Okay. Councilmember Shaw.
Well, I've been meeting all over the place. I had a housing trust fund meeting first. Bottom line on that is we're out of money and we're out of requests for money. So we're in a little bit of a holding pattern. But it's also, we've actually just gotten word since the last meeting, we've gotten some more money in. But we actually don't have any, we have some potential requests coming down the pike, but we have nothing on the table. And a lot of it, I hope, is because it's just cyclical and it's that time of year, and we have things that are coming to be paid back and grants coming in. Also, part of it could be that as the economy gets better, unfortunately, there's less interest in affordable housing, which is something we still desperately need and can't give up on. So we actually are not going to have our meeting in August because we have no projects to look at right now, and it may be the same situation through the end of the year, but we're gonna see. So that was the bottom line with that. And then I had an HSOC meeting, and that was really interesting. We got a great update on the 50 Now project, which, you know, we all just put some money toward HSOC, so it's great to know that they now have 33 of the 50 now housed, and they're way ahead of timeline on that. Of course, now we're starting to hit walls with just there being no physical housing. You're going to hear that over and over. And actually, they house 33 of the 50 now, but 36 people, because some of them had spouses or children.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really great number. We had a great presentation from the county of San Luis Obispo. They just started, a woman named Allison Ordeal. They just started a program here to after the realignment of prisons to help people reintegrate into the community. So 90 days before someone is discharged, they start to have a plan, and each person fills out forms of their needs, and they're addressed by a round table, and, you know, they're not just shoved out the door. One of the really good things is people are signed up with mental health services, because I know with things I've worked on in the past, people are turned out of jail with 3 days of meds and nothing, and nowhere to go and not knowing what to do. So they at least have that safety net going in our county. And this just started in June. And every other week, they meet in a round table at the Honor Farm. And so any groups that want to come and think they can help people re-entering the community are welcome to attend. And I'm so happy to hear that this program started, because I actually first heard about this in February at a League of Cities meeting. The city of Fontana has a great program helping people. And I actually sat with Chief Copsey and said, we need this. And he said, the county's making it. So it's it's formed and they're getting off the ground. So that was good to hear. I'm sure they'll need help along the way. And then we had a good presentation about the McKinney-Vento Homeless Children Education Assistance Act, which any child that's enrolled in school, they have a different definition of homeless. If you're doubled up with a relative, if you're camping, if you're in emergency foster care, you're considered homeless, and you have rights to different programs and meals and things like that. So I took two of the flyers, and I'm hoping I can work with at least our elementary schools, because it's just teachers know about this, and hopefully people, you fill out these forms the first week of school, but sometimes that's a blur, and it's up to the teachers to kind of see, hey, this kid is actually homeless. So it's a good to remind staff that this is something to be looking for, because these kids have rights to services that they might not know. Also new in our county is Sierra Wellness has a new mobile unit for people in mental health crisis. So when a 5150 is called in, there's a new mobile unit to come help you guys with the and it's for psychiatric crisis, and it's already being heavily used apparently. So, and there is another program through CalWORKS that has housed 93 families, homeless families, since October, and they're, because of that rate, going to probably most likely get grant funded again. So that was a lot of good news. And there was also a Visit San Luis Obispo County meeting, which we decided I would not attend. So I'm going to touch base with Sam Miller, and I'll give you a report at the next one.
Perfect. Thank you. Councilmember Bright.
Okay. Well, lucky me, I was in the Sea of Cortez for a good portion of this month. So I only had one meeting, and thank you for taking on all those others.
you get back in time to go to a meeting?
I did.
You didn't time that very well.
No, I know. But it's Zone 3, so our Flood Control and Water Conservation District. Okay. I was late, however, to that meeting. I know. I had to work. Darn work.
Out yourself.
Anyhow, I know. Well, I've got a witness right there. He's probably going to help me anyway. Anywho, it was a good meeting. Kind of interesting how our board has kind of changed a bit. But anyway, I'd say that the highlights were, for me, that the Habitat Conservation Plan, the HCP, is actually moving along. This is a thing that's been dragging for over 10 years. And really, it's really coming along, and some real positive results there. So I'm real pleased about that, and that basically will mean that maybe it'll get done sometime and we won't have to keep paying for for all these studies and so on. The low reservoir response plan was called into effect, as I think that was addressed in our Friday letter as well. I don't know now what's happened since we've had that storm, but I don't imagine that it's really done a whole lot for the Lopez, for the depth of Lopez, but hopefully it did some. There was a consideration of to reserve state water and actually store it in Lopez, and that was brought as the result of a couple of the stakeholders in Zone 3. And we did give the advisory committee did give it support, and so they will staff will give that information to the they'll advise the superintendents, the board of supervisors. I'm thinking, there was, for some of you, apparently there was some odor in the water. It was determined to be blue-green algae. I never smelled it, but maybe it's when I was not here. But that has been taken care of. There is another maintenance project that was approved. There's a membrane loose. It's going to require two divers. This is in the Lopez Dam, I believe. And we can always have me be corrected by Mr. Lee over there. And because of scheduled maintenance, the pigging has been delayed because basically due to the amount of water that it requires to complete the project. So there wouldn't be any additional funds required at this time. So that to me sounded like a good deal. And I think that was pretty much it. There will be contracts coming along regarding storage rights. Yes. And there is going to be a South County Water Symposium on August 13th at 5:30 p.m. at the South County Regional Center. Jeff English is going to speak. I'm not quite sure who he is, but Jim Gehrig has also been requested to be a guest speaker. Jeff English. He's the
Aurora Grandy
Public Works Director. Yeah. He's the gentleman who announced this, so there we go. And they'll be discussing statewide water issues, and had asked if maybe we might be able to put that on our website or something to post that so folks know about it. And I would say that concludes my report.
Okay. Thanks for that, those reports. So I'll just be brief. So the Five Cities Fire Authority, as I had said before last time, budget has been approved. And I believe that we are now moving into an area where we're going to be doing a strategic plan, which will be more of a workshop. So that'll be looking at pretty much prioritizing what was previously in the budget and laying out a five-year plan of how to move this organization forward. So that works great. And then I believe on Friday there was a real brief celebration of it's been the five-year anniversary. I thought Chief Lieberman did a really nice job and was well attended, and the cake was good too. So.
Yes.
There you go. So yeah, I think we had a great show of council support there, and I know Councilmember Nichols, myself, and Miriam was there. So it went really well. I didn't have a slow cog board meeting. So, which leads me with South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. So, let me. The gentleman in the back was there, so it was the first meeting televised on AGP video. Quite an interesting meeting. So, if you are bored, you don't have a lot, and you want to find out what's going on in South County, I suggest you all take a look at it. And if you have questions, call me. Anyway, two things. There was a, I think we had a small spill in Oceano during the 4th of July weekend. The crews did a really good job of going out and manning that and getting it cleaned up. They have been in touch with the County Health Agency as well as Regional Water Quality Control Board. They were both agencies were satisfied with the measures that were taken to clean that up. So we don't anticipate there being any violation or anything around that. So I'll get you more details as that unfolds. And then finally, we have a situation that regarding the member agencies and how everyone, basically the way customers are billed is that the member agencies do this based on their on water bills because they have the customer base. They send out the billing, they collect the funds, and they give them to the district. The city of Rio Grande, I believe, chart bills about $12,000 a year, and they basically collect those funds. They take their portion off the top, and then they send it to the district. The city of Grover Beach, I believe it's about $20,000 as far as annually for our administration to do the billing. We don't take anything off the top. We send it into the district, and then we send an invoice, and that gets paid. The community of Oceano, or Oceano Community Services District, I believe they have come out and said it's about $22,000 to basically send out a bill, collect those funds, and distribute them to the district. They don't take the money out up front. They submit the money to the district and then send an invoice. So we find ourselves in a situation where we've got the smallest agency that has a smaller number of customers that is billing out at a higher rate, and we don't have an equitable solution. I know there were some discussions previously when Mr. Wallace was there and Mr. Giesling was there. They have since moved on. And so now we continue to find ourselves in a situation in which Oceano has basically come back and said, we are not going to collect payment or do the billing unless you sign a contract with us, because not everyone has a contract. And obviously, as I just described, everyone's got a different methodology and different charges for the administration. We've paid the previously $11,000, but said we need to fix this, and so we're going to be looking into fixing it. But in the short term, really what it means is the board on a 2-1 vote, and I was myself and Tim Brown was in for Mayor Hill, continued the item for a month with the understanding that on a 2-month billing cycle, there is a potential, I'm not going to say loss of revenues, but that there is $82,000 that may not be collected if Oceano chooses not to bill and collect funds. So we've got an ongoing situation that needs to be resolved. They are insisting on a short-term contract that is prorated based on the $22,000 when we've said we need to make this equitable, and no one else has a contract. So it's getting to be a pretty significant issue, and hopefully we can kind of work through this over the next month to 6 weeks. So we're looking at options. Can you do it? Can you take it to a situation where people are billed as part of the county tax rolls? Do you bring it and do a third-party billing? Because I'm not sure if we're going to be able to reach a mutually beneficial situation or an equitable situation to deal with this issue. So you'll hear a lot about this, and I'll keep you informed as we move forward, keep you up to date. It's and that's the tamest of the things that happened last Wednesday. Anyway. Thanks, everyone. Let's move to council communications. I did want to say the League of Women Voters came to the mayor's meeting, which we hosted July 10th? My, how time flies. And Mayor Pro Tem Lee joined me, and thank you for coming. I think it was good for you to be there, and thank you for covering the rest of the meeting as I had to leave early to put my work hat back on for another item. But what the League of Women Voters presented to the mayors was, apparently they are going around, and I think we've all read about this, regarding civil discourse, and I think they've made a specific request to come and make a presentation to the city of Grover Beach, correct, Donna? And so I wanted to just see if that is something of interest to this council to have them come in. And they did a really good job in the 10 to 12 minutes they were allotted at the mayor's meeting. So is everyone...
We could all use
some civil discourse.
Absolutely. You know
can
better than
can we invite specific members of the public?
Yes. City Attorney, did you have something? Okay. Anybody else have any council communications?
I do.
Oh. Okay. Go ahead, Karen.
Oh, okay.
You go.
We all received a letter from Ron Riley, and addressing several issues, but the one I'd like to talk about is fireworks. I have had so many complaints about fireworks, and the same issue where they start long before the 4th and continue long after, and actually they're still going off. I had somebody call me mm-hmm. just over the weekend. So I would like us to maybe rethink revisit it. Okay. I don't know. But I know that there are a lot of our residents out there who are not real happy about the way that that the fireworks situation is going.
Okay. Is everyone okay with that suggestion?
Yeah, I would agree with that, especially if the drought continues. I think we have to really think about it. Okay. I really felt bad. I know it benefits charities, but I really felt bad putting them out there this year. I was very nervous.
And I know it's a huge drain on our police force as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
Well, I'm just wondering if maybe we should, I'll ask for a report from Chief Lieberman and maybe Chief Peters on that. Jeff, you have?
And just from that perspective, I'd like to make sure that whatever conversation we do have about it does address or does identify the charity aspect of
yes.
it so that we really know what the impacts would be to,
right.
to the community.
Yeah.
Idea.
Okay. And because I was going to ask about the enforcement piece of it, and I think you touched on that with respect to police force. Because I mean, people are still shooting fireworks either before or now. So I think that's why it'd be better to kind of hear from the chief at a different time on that.
Great.
Okay. Any other communication, Barbara? You have something?
I have just a couple of questions of staff, just
okay.
On updates. The gambling ordinance, are we making any progress on that?
Honorable Mayor, Council members, I think the applicant has been advised of the process and the required deposit to initiate the process. And last I heard, he has not filed an application yet.
He has not filed an application?
Oops.
Didn't think you'd get away all evening,
did
no, you?
Right?
Not at all. I did receive Mr. Stern's application late last week, as well as his deposit has been turned into the planning department. So that review is currently underway.
Okay. Thank you.
Smashing.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. The other question I have is, it hasn't been brought to the council, but there was a dispute over some open space at the bottom of our neighborhood, and the staff was going to look into whether or not we could sell
right.
a small sliver of land to that
right.
homeowner that who the previous homeowner is the one that built the encroaching fence into the open space.
City manager?
Staff has completed its review of that matter within the last few days, and will be corresponding with Mr. The Salazars that legally we're not permissible to actually complete that sale.
Okay, thank you.
And will we get a copy of that letter? Because I am kind of, I would be curious to know the justification with respect to that.
Yes.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, thank you. Jeff?
And two items, one of which is I had a couple people mention that the sound level on channel 20 was still really low. So I wasn't sure if that was an us issue or a TV issue. So just if we can follow up and
lean in, speak loudly.
Exactly. Lean. And then the second item is perhaps an update. My email has been I'll just say I've been receiving many emails on the People's Kitchen with regards to the Living Waters letter that that the pastor sent out. Second only to Phillips 66, but that's another item. So I was just wondering if there was any update on if anything of what's moving forward or not moving forward from that perspective.
Mr. Mayor, as you know, there have been a lot of correspondence regarding the Living Waters Church and potential plans for providing some kind of feeding service. And there was a letter that the pastor distributed to a number of, I understand, neighborhood residents, and that generated the communication that you received. As a result of that, we wrote a letter to the Reverend. We had no direct or formal communication with the Reverend at that point. We just indicated that from staff's perspective, Living Waters as a church and a church facility is a non-conforming legal use. And as long as that use was maintained without intensification, it was free to continue to operate. Any intensification which we would have to look at would likely require a use permit. For instance, if it were similar to the model that is currently used by People's Kitchen.
So, Bob, is it not legal nonconforming due to zoning?
That building was constructed, and Mr. Buckingham may be able to help me out here, back about the time that prior to the zoning ordinance, if I'm not mistaken.
Good evening, mayors, members of the council. The church is nonconforming only because it has never applied for a use permit. At the time it was established, it did not need a use permit in circa 1960 or 61. So it's only nonconforming because it has never operated with a use permit. At some point, the development code changed and does now require a use permit for the church. So again, they can continue to operate as they have in the past. Any intensification of use in our nonconforming section of the development code does require a use permit. So.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Okay, my planning hat on, but I'm not going to belabor that point. I think there'll be ample opportunity to have some discussion on that. Because I will say that I had met with the pastor on two occasions to just make sure that they understood the challenges to what was being proposed. And I had suggested that they contact the neighbors rather than so that this is something that would be transparent and that the neighbors would be aware. So, and I think that's kind of generated some comments. So hopefully everyone is giving their input, whether good, bad, or indifferent. And we'll see. I understand staff. I had met with the pastor today, and maybe we can get a report on that at the next meeting to figure out what was discussed and what came out of that. So anyway, okay. Anyone else?
Oh, I want to comment. Just going back to the public communication and Ms. Linda McClure and her event ordinance, my memory's a little bit foggy, but I thought we had really decided to bifurcate the event issue so that we could really get her the ordinance and her issue resolved. And I feel like we failed her in a way and failed her event in a way that she's, I feel like I was sitting in the audience of this same meeting last year, and I don't know what we can do at this late date, but I really want to fix this and encourage events here. So whatever we can do at this point, let's do it.
And I think Bob had talked about a possible solution or way to at least resolve her concerns, and then that gives us time to make any changes in the ordinance that we had discussed.
Yeah, and then just one other communication I had, and I talked with Bob a little bit about it, but while I was sitting at the dance place, I started talking to one of the other moms who runs a ice truck, Kona Ice, and she mentioned that she actually wanted to operate in Grover Beach, but that our permitting process for trucks is so complicated that she just said, forget it, I'm going to go work in Arroyo Grande and different places. And I know...
Good luck with that.
I don't know. She did go through the process with other cities, but not with our city. So I don't know the ordinance well enough to know, but I know we don't want trucks perusing everywhere, but we do often talk about trying to get more foot traffic on Grand Avenue. And I mean, I would love to see, until we get that foot traffic, a bunch of food trucks at certain times on Grand Avenue, or a bunch of food trucks around Ramona Park at lunchtime. And maybe if we made that ordinance simpler, we could get something like that going, which could be a cool thing. So I don't know if it's something to think about.
So maybe it is something to think about, maybe not tonight, maybe if there's I know we've got a pretty heavy workload, so maybe we can figure out, it's time to have a discussion about that and the timing of it. I will say, in a former life, I was a planner for the city of San Luis Obispo and others, and that process is never easy because it's hard for folks to, one, clarify, and then obviously there's a lot of other health issues and things that, so it's a timely process, unfortunately, but if everyone's okay, maybe at a future day we should have that conversation.
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay. Anything else? City manager.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, just briefly before I get into the item regarding Mr. Ford's request, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the storm yesterday. We did receive a lot of rain. I understand it was a little less than an inch, but actually we fared fairly well as compared to some of the surrounding cities. There was, as usual, minor street flooding, but as I'm aware, there was no extended outages within our community, so we were relatively immune from that. I did want to say that we made the decision, as you know, to cancel the concert, and because the weather was just so unpredictable, I think that was probably a wise decision.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. On to Mr. Ford's letter. You have an item before you. Mr. Ford has sent a letter asking that the consider regarding the application of certain standards to the Grover Tech Center development. Actually, staff is recommending that the council place the matter on your next agenda. As noted in the staff report, Mr. Ford submitted his letter last week. The Grover Beach Tech Center is a fully entitled project. It currently consists of, the entitled project consists of 10 buildings on a single piece of property. It was actually entitled prior to 2006, and the first three buildings were constructed prior to 2006. At the time that the buildings were constructed, the standards permitted the construction without much required in terms of retention of on-site stormwater. That changed in 2006 when the standards were upgraded and essentially require that properties that are being developed or redeveloped in excess of 40% are required to retain all stormwater on site. Mr. Ford is asking that He indicates in his letter a waiver from a standard, but realistically, staff's of the opinion that the an option that the council might want to consider is actually its application, the application of the standard to his particular project, since it was entitled prior to the time that the standard was adopted, although that standard is silent on that part. So staff is recommending that the council agendize the item for the 13th, at which time we'll provide you with a staff report and a list of viable options that we think would be available for your consideration.
Okay, so Bob, I see the recommended written action is August 3rd. You just said the 13th. Is it the 3rd?
The 3rd, excuse me. Yes, it would be the next meeting.
Okay, very good. What's the council think?
I have a question.
Okay, ask your question.
Thank you. Mr. Ford's letter, he says his position and the position of what I imagine is the Stormwater Quality Control Board, that the 2006 requirements for retention do not apply to the Grover Tech Center project. When we have the staff report, I'd like to know.
Certainly, we'll be able to do that. Okay. But to tell you, there are two separate requirements. There's certain requirements by the Water Quality Control Board, and then there are our own requirements, and they are two separate.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem?
My only comment is I'm supportive of putting this on the agenda. However, I won't be at the August 3rd meeting. So, so if it does land there, have a good discussion without me.
we'd have nobody to ask questions.
Yeah. And you have not asked our permission.
I'll take up
either.
The slack. I'll take up the slack.
Don't rub it in. You won't be here.
Because I think the irony. Yeah, that's true. Okay, so you'll be gone. Okay. You're going to give us a list of questions to ask, right?
Yeah.
Certainly.
No, we'll put you on speakerphone.
So we have we have consensus to have this item placed on the August 3rd agenda?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Bob. City Attorney, any reports or comments? And while you have the floor, can you cover our closed session items for tonight?
It is the intent of the City Council to meet in closed session on four items. The City Manager's evaluation, existing litigation on two cases, Lopez versus City of Grover Beach and Lindsay versus City of Grover Beach. Conference with real property negotiators pertaining to Pacifica companies.
Very good. I think with that, we are going to recess in a closed session.